Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
What a Monday we have. Had a little bit of snow over the weekend. Hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Everybody, I hope you're having a day off from work. And if not, thank you for joining us here on the program. I'm joined in studio with Ethel Maharg, Executive Director of the Right to Life Committee, and Pastor Vince Torres. He's the Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. You two have been very gracious to give me a lot of time. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
Happy
for being here. Hey, I'm before we get started on our questions, we have a New Mexico legislative session that's going to start tomorrow. Been praying for you guys and your families for your protection and your wisdom and all the things that go into you going up and working with the leadership of our state. But before I do that, this is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I cannot imagine personally what racial discrimination is really about. I've not experienced that. And it hurts my heart that that exists, but it does. And I want people to understand a little bit. In reading Claiborne Carson, he is a professor of history at Stanford University. He wrote an compiled the autobiography of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I want to read to you an excerpt. A lot of people remember that there was a famous bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955. Dr. King was blamed by the authorities for the lack of settlement. He knew this wasn't fair, but I want to read a quote to you all by Dr. King in his autobiography. It said, "That Monday I went home with a heavy heart. I was weighed down by a terrible sense of guilt, remembering that on two or three occasions I had allowed myself to become angry and indignant. I had spoken hastily and resentfully, yet I knew that this was no way to solve a problem. You must not harbor anger, I admonished myself. You must be willing to suffer the anger of the opponent and yet not return anger. But for those who ask, but how can we fight injustice without anger? King's response is simple. Be motivated by love. Love for victims, love for bystanders, and even love for our enemies themselves." Ladies and gentlemen, I just have to tell you, it brings me to tears to first have observed in some small way the discrimination and the horrible atrocities that were committed against Dr. King and against people of color in our country. But I'm so blessed to see that this man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, understood the difference between righteous anger and love. Mm-hmm. We're not entitled to righteous anger. You know, this is coming to you from a person that yelled at basketball officials most of my coaching career. And we're not entitled to that. I'm the kind of person that I've driven out of this church parking lot after services and yelled at people that cut in front of me on the street. And were they wrong because they are not good drivers? Absolutely. But I'm not entitled to that. Mm-hmm. Retribution, discipline, all of that is the Lord's. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed, and I do honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in that he was a man that was motivated by love. Was he a perfect person? Nope, mm-hmm. He wasn't. Neither are any of us. Right. But the amazing sacrifices that he made, obviously ultimately giving his life, we want to just just remember Dr. King and the sacrifices he made and be motivated to do things that the Holy Spirit calls us to do out of love. Mm-hmm. And so, Ethel Maharg, Right to Life Committee, Vince Torres, Family Policy Alliance. Guys, I'm expecting great things, God to do great things through you, because you're making those same kinds of stands against a culture that seems really to have discounted life. Dr. Martin Luther King made so many strides to bring equality to all people in this world, using scripture to show that all men are created equal and that they should all have equal rights and all of those different things. Well, you're doing the same thing for the unborn. You're doing it for our children, Vince, who are being sexualized and things in school, and our educational policies and all these things are getting really scary. Ethel, you're defending the rights of people not to be put to death, mm-hmm. for whatever reason somebody decides they should be put to death. Mm-hmm. and especially an unborn child. So, wow, what a day to do this on Dr. Martin Luther King Day. So thanks.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's start talking about it. Couple things we haven't talked about, and I'll direct this one to Ethel. You're the executive director of the Right to Life Committee, and I never knew all that entailed. The right to life is from the time of conception all the way through natural death. Mm-hmm. And that's a stand that is becoming more and more countercultural, mm-hmm. cultural, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it sure is.
Why is this happening in our culture?
I think because we opened a door. Mm. You know, in 1973, we allowed for abortion to be legalized. And when we began to devalue life, we just went, as Dr. Francis Schaeffer said, when you fail to protect the most vulnerable in our society, you begin down a slippery slope. Mm. And that's exactly what's happened, is when you open the door, you know, it just opens it wide for everything else. Just like I told you last week about assisted suicide in Oregon, has risen tremendously, over 40%, because it is now legal to do that there. And so when you open the door, it just pops it wide open. That's why we fight to keep it from opening. And but like right now, we're playing catch up.
Right.
And so, the atrocities that have taken place is because we allowed something to happen in the first place that we should have.
So did Roe v. Wade really address aborting a baby at 8 months in the womb? Wasn't it more, wasn't the rhetoric of the day, in cases of rape or incest or life-threatening issues for the mom,
right,
you can terminate a pregnancy early? And over the many years that we have had legalized abortion, it has become now in the state of New Mexico legal for you up to the time of birth,
right,
you can abort that child at any time.
Yeah. You know, it was, for one, Roe versus Wade started. I like to let people know it came about as a result of a lie. Norma McCorvey lied on the stand. She was convinced by two attorneys that she should tell this story, that she was raped, but not just raped, but brutally raped, because Texas was, it was illegal and they weren't going to have it. So they convinced her to lie. She did. Mm. She later recanted that story. She came to faith in Christ and then went to her death. She actually died mourning that her name had been tied to the loss of so many children. Mm. So,
Ethel, you told me last week, and I have to just tell you, my selfish reason for having you guys on the air is because we have our lawmakers gathering this next month.
Yes.
And this was a big topic. Abortion was a big topic of last year. Now, I've had several other organizations that have been on that they don't discount the importance of abortion or they don't discount the importance of family policy issues, but they want the legislature to talk about a lot of other things and pass a lot of other things, particularly crime bills, things that have to do with the quality of life and things that improve education. Viante New Mexico is one organization that does so. The Rio Grande Foundation is another. And it's not that they want abortion or family policy issues to be discounted. They just want us to get something done. Mm-hmm. And I'm more and more convinced, and I want you guys to support this. I hope you will. This isn't a Democrat versus Republican thing. This is human beings trying to take care of each other. Mm-hmm. Vince, how's the family being attacked?
Well, we see it in multiple ways. And, you know, to your previous comment, I love the work that Paul does over at the Rio Grande Foundation, and the folks at Viante New Mexico do a great job educating the public on some very, very important critical issues that are certainly part of an effort to improve New Mexico and make it a better place for us to live. When it comes to issues related to the family, though, we really do believe that the family is the building block of any successful society. And so while we can talk about education and crime and economics, we're certainly open to having those conversations. But fundamentally, we believe that it begins with a good, strong family. Mm. And that's something that we have seen under attack here in New Mexico. And it's not just simply the life issue, where fundamentally we don't value life in its most vulnerable state here in New Mexico. But we've also even seen end-of-life options, you know, proposed in the past to diminish the sanctity of life for the elderly and the ill. And so I think we certainly want to have, you know, continued conversations about the challenges that are facing New Mexico. But until we are willing to grapple with the difficult issues that our organizations are willing to have conversations about, I think we're quite frankly just putting a bandage on a wound that desperately needs some surgery. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at education and when you look at crime and all of these other issues, there's still at the root of that a fundamental lack of awareness and a willingness to value life. And I think until we wrestle with that issue, quite frankly, we're going to continue to experience these challenges that we face.
And tell you what, guys, I believe that New Mexico is a family state.
Yes,
and
it is.
They're going to buy into really what I think is a godly perspective on preserving life, taking care of our children. And I do believe, I agree with you, Vince, and that's going to translate into a lot of improvement in the area of crime and education and all these other things. So Vince Torres, he is a pastor and the executive director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, and Ethel Maharg, the executive director of the Right to Life Committee, in studio with us this afternoon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back on this Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Stay with us.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
And we're back in studio visiting with Elaine Ramos from Ramos Real Estate. And Elaine, first, thanks for coming back in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We've been hearing on the air one of your commercials that's running, and you've really done, well, you do such a great job to help people get into the home of their dreams. But between now and the end of the year, you came up with an idea that's going to make it even easier.
Yeah, that's right. It's my fifth year anniversary as a qualifying broker of my brokerage, Ramos Real Estate, and I thought, how can I celebrate? Sometimes you can have a party, but I thought, no, I'd rather give back to my clients, and sometimes I give back through carpet cleaning or something like that, but no, I thought money.
Okay.
Money speaks, and I would love to help my clients out by giving them a $500 credit, which is real money, towards closing costs and prepaids from now to the end of the year.
Well, and then I know you were telling me that you were talking to someone else on your team, Eleanor, mm-hmm. about what you were doing.
Yes.
And Eleanor thought it was a great idea.
Yes, Eleanor jumped on the idea. She loved it, and she wanted to participate.
Thank you for allowing me to be here and celebrate with Elaine her 5 years as a qualifying broker and owning her own company. I'm super excited to partner with her on this special, which is I am, in addition to the $500 that she's going to contribute, I will contribute another $500, which will come right off of your closing costs. Together, that special to you is $1,000 off closing costs. And we are super honored and excited to give back to the community and help people accomplish the dream of home ownership.
And let me say right now, for those that are doing the, you know, well, come on. No, it's $1,000. It's real money. It's going to make a real difference in the purchase of a new home. So, Elaine, those that are excited about it and they want to contact you and find out how to make this happen, how do they do that?
They can call me at 505-379-6845 or go to my website, RamosRealEstateNM.com.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect this afternoon. Vince Torres, Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, and Ethel Maharg with the Right to Life Committee in studio. And we're talking about tough subjects. Ethel, I'm going to start right out of the gate with a topic that we haven't talked about, and that is what about rape and the life of the mother? You always hear that you know, the people, the Right to Life people are always trying to interfere with the life of the mother and who should be expected to carry a child when they're the product of incest or rape or something like that. I mean, this is at least the argument, mm-hmm. but I don't know how much, how high a percentage. You mentioned 5,000 abortions happen in New Mexico mm-hmm. a year. What percentage of those have anything to do with that?
I believe like less than 2%.
Yeah.
So when people ask me that question, what about rape? I said, what about rape? Let's talk about that. Because people need to understand, and I ask them, do you know what happens to a woman when she is raped? And, of course, they always say no.
No.
And I said, well, let me tell you. The woman, when she experiences rape, she experienced PTSD. So then my next question is, do you know what happens to a woman when she has an abortion? They say, no. And I said, PTSD. So why would we purposely subject a woman to PTSD on top of PTSD? And many times women, okay, when I was in the pregnancy center, for example, we never made anybody do anything, but we gave them the information to understand that having an abortion after rape would further complicate the matter. Mm-hmm. We're not telling you you must carry this child. We're not going to force you to do that, but you need to understand the ramifications for your mental, you know, emotional state that it could worsen, you know, worsen the problem for you.
Right.
So, but the other side always uses both rape and the life of the mother as excuses, if you will, to paint with a broad stroke, you know, everybody. That's why we should have abortion legal, when the percentage of it is so very low. Now, on the life of the mother issue is, do we want a woman to jeopardize her life? Well, of course not. We don't.
No.
want that. But I remember hearing this from Dr. Levitino, who's a former abortionist, and he's now very pro-life and helping us. And he said, you know, I have terminated thousands, goes countless of pregnancies where nobody had to die. It was when the mother was in trouble. And he said, it's called a cesarean.
Oh, yeah.
He says, you take the child, you terminate that pregnancy, you care for the mother, care for the child. Unfortunately, in that process, sometime maybe the child will not make it. Okay, because maybe it's too young, and it'll probably be cared for. But, you know, they have statistics that show that now, like 19 weeks, a child, so long as they're cared for in the NICUs and all that, can survive. Mm-hmm. You know, not just by themselves, but, of course, with help. And the mothers could be saved. You know, they became toxic. My daughter had toxemia at 32 weeks. They had to take her in then, that moment, or she would have died, both she and the baby. My grandson just turned 5. But so the thing is that they had to terminate that pregnancy. They didn't abort the child.
Right.
And so they need to understand that there's other methods, other ways, that abortion isn't always the answer.
And you are not, I'm going to direct this to Vince a little bit, and Ethel chime in, because we're just having a conversation here. Vince, you've told me before in the Family Policy Alliance and Right to Life issues, you guys are not telling people what to do.
No.
You're simply saying, we have a book of information, we have experience, we have people that you can meet with that are going to give you the facts. They're going to give you all the options. That seems to be a lot more loving than just fast-tracking people to an operating table to have their pregnancy terminated.
No, that's correct. I think more than anything, we're very much pro-information. And one of the things that we know in talking to women who have had abortions is that so many of them come to regret the act that they chose because they were not given all the information up front. And so these are women who, statistically, we know the overwhelming majority of them have been pressured into the abortion, either by a parent, a spouse, or some other person in their life. So how is that really choice, you know, when the overwhelming majority of these women are being pressured into it? But add to that the fact that they're going into these clinics, you know, Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics, where they're not given all the information. And that's why we're, you know, extremely thankful for our friends over at CareNet Pregnancy Center who do just that. Again, they're not making these women carry these babies to term. They're simply giving them genuine choices, one of which is, if you want to carry this baby to term, we're willing to help you. We want you to have all the information. So regardless of the decision that you make, you can be well informed on what you're about to do. And so, again, to your point, that is the attitude or the motivation behind so much of the work that we do. It does come from a spirit of love, one that wants them to know the truth before they make these decisions, that we don't want them to get to a place where years later they are coming to regret. And as a pastor, I've ministered to those women who are post-abortive, who years and years later are saying, I wish I had more information. I wish I knew. My doctors lied to me. The nurses lied to me. They told me it wasn't a baby, all of that. And so, again, we're just supporting access to information through much of what we're trying to do.
And they make their own decisions.
They do. And, you know, I just want to add to that, even and especially when they do choose abortion. I always remember this example when I was with CareNet, that our East Mountain director told us of a young lady who came in that was pregnant for the second time. She came back to see them. She said, she told her, I just want you to know that I came back to you because even though you knew what I was going to go do, she says, you were still so kind to me and you loved me through this whole process. And she had chosen abortion for her first child, but she came back because somebody loved her through that, right, even in the face of that adversity.
So last question for this segment really is to talk to people that might have had an abortion. Mm-hmm. Are they just forever, does God just got a bad impression of them from now on? Or tell me how God feels about them.
Oh, he loves them. He loves them. And there's forgiveness and there's restoration that, and all they have to do is seek it out. Or just, you know, a lot of people don't even know. A lot of them are walking around not realizing that they need help, frankly. Yeah. And so they need to understand that if they have symptoms, and I can go over those later, that if they have, they're displaying those symptoms, that they could probably, that they just need to reach out. The pregnancy centers are great places for that. CareNet has the program called Morning to Joy. It's a weekend workshop that's private. In fact, nobody even knows where it's located. Mm. And then I know that Project Defending Life has Rachel's Vineyard. So there's help, and there's many churches. I believe even Calvary has a ministry for that, for women who have suffered, you know, through abortion. So yeah, there's, God loves them. You know, it's not the unpardonable sin. They can be restored. They just need to realize. And when they do, there's tears, many tears, but I encourage them all the time. Just go and get that healing, get that restoration. It'll change your life because right now they're in prison. I promise you.
Yeah. Yeah. Vince, how do you deal with folks in your congregation when you're pastoring that have self-condemnation about this or any other subject?
Well, I like that you framed it that way because it's like any other sin, right? Mm-hmm. And we certainly don't want to promote a spirit of condemnation or hatred. And sadly, I can say that, you know, the church in many cases has done just that and made so many of these women feel like they are the monsters. And, you know, my response to that is always, you're not a monster. There is a monster out there. His name is Satan. He's our enemy. He is our adversary. You've been lied to. But as Ethel stated, there is forgiveness for your sins, just as there is forgiveness for my sins. And that's the message that we promote, that God loves you, that God is willing to restore you, and God is willing to walk you through these difficult things, just like he has walked with me through some of the darkest moments of my life. And I'm reminded of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and was dragged to the feet of Jesus, you know, and she's basically facing capital punishment at that point by some of the religious folks. And Jesus, you know, turns them away by pointing out their own transgressions and their own sins. And it says they walk away and he looks to the woman. And he says, who condemns you? And she says, no one, my Lord. And he looks back at her and says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So we see both a message of love and we also see a message of truth as well, which is acknowledging, not condoning what has happened, but not condemning either. And so we want love to be the motivation behind all that we say and do.
You know, I want to take it a little bit farther. There are probably some women that have had an abortion. I don't think they're going to be offended by what we're saying, because I think they're going to see that people are out there trying to love people that are facing this very difficult choice, and that they want to, they're not going to be condemned no matter what their choice is, but there are other options that are going to relieve them. That they can have joy about. Mm-hmm. My question really is this. Can a person who has had an abortion, can a person that has yelled at basketball officials, can a person that, and I'm not minimizing any of this, because I've said things to people that are just ridiculous that I should have never said personally, but can people that are sinners be used by God to change other people's lives?
Well, that's what we see happening every day in the church. That's why I'm so blessed to be part of the local church. And to Ethel's point, I think, you know, one of the things that we see with so many of these women is they haven't really talked through this. They haven't really, perhaps they've thought through it, but they haven't had a conversation. And so even just, you know, last Sunday when I preached on this issue at my church, and talked a bit about this, you know, one of the things that I kind of set up the sermon with was the idea that I hoped this conversation would perhaps be part of your healing process. Mm. Because maybe you haven't talked about it before, and I'm willing to tell you that we're willing to have that conversation here at this church with you. And might that be something that the Holy Spirit then uses to bring you to a place of understanding and being able to cope and process what's actually happened. And the nice thing is I've met several pastors who have come to me and said, you know, after speaking the life sermon or speaking on life, I've had women after women come to me and say, thank you for bringing this up and talking through it. In some way, it helped heal me of what I've gone through and what I've been through. And so we want to continue to have those conversations. And I think so many times we are tempted as leaders in the church to avoid this issue out of fear of hurting people. But the reality is we can be part of their healing, mm-hmm. if we're willing to have the conversation.
Amen. A year ago, there was a massive battle in our state. There was a bill where our governor tried to promote a bill that was going to absolutely approve and make law late-term abortions. Right now, abortion is legal in the state of New Mexico because of Roe v. Wade. She wanted to remove from the books any and all laws that had to do with limiting abortion and so forth on the New Mexico law books so that if something ever happened at the federal level, it wouldn't affect the state. Well, correct. Vince, you've shared with us that the church came together, the Protestants, the Catholics, the business people, the Democrats, and the Republicans came together and just defeated that bill.
Yes.
Are you anticipating that we're going to see something possibly this legislative session? Is that why we're talking about this today?
We really don't know at this point. So Governor Lujan Grisham did announce the agenda items that she plans on adding to the call for this year's legislative session, which kicks off tomorrow. The life issue, the abortion issue, is not currently on that agenda. But the governor has stated publicly that this is something that she wants to continue to work and fight for. And so my encouragement is that while we may not see it on the agenda yet, it does not mean that it cannot be added at any point. In fact, you know, that the governor has the ability to do that. She can add whatever she wants to the agenda on the fly. And so our encouragement to, you know, all of your listeners is to continue to stay in contact, mm-hmm. with us. If you're not already on our email list, to join that email list, both Right to Life and Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, because we will be at the Capitol in Santa Fe, talking with legislators, speaking with them, and making sure that we keep tabs on any unusual activity that we sense that is happening. So right now, while we may not have a bill to begin our opposition to, that doesn't mean that a bill may not come up in which we will have to mobilize quickly and let our elected officials once again know that this is not what we want for New Mexico, that we're tired of the culture of death that our culture is that our state is known for, and we want to begin pushing a culture of life.
How about the tools that you have on your website, Vince? You mentioned that you have a special way where somebody registers based on their address, I guess zip code and so forth. You have a way for them to contact their representatives.
That's correct.
In the legislature, state senators and legislators.
Yeah, we recognize that for many New Mexicans, especially being as geographically large as we are as a state, it's difficult for them to get to Santa Fe to talk with their elected officials, even folks who live close by. I mean, you know, working and busy with family. Not everyone can make it to the Capitol to testify in a committee hearing or anything like that. So if you go to familypolicyalliance.com/New Mexico, scroll down, hit the subscribe button. We will make you aware of opportunities for you to engage through what we call action alerts. And an action alert is a very quick way in which you can put in your name and your address. And once you hit submit, that message will go directly to your state senator, your state rep, or the governor, depending on what we are trying to do at that particular time. So again, you can still do something without actually having to be in Santa Fe. And we would encourage your folks to do that whenever they have the opportunity.
We really need people of faith to contact their representatives. Pretty simple formula.
Yes, Ethel. We do. We do. And I'm just going to add to some of what Vince was saying. We don't know where we're at, but he'll agree that last year that battle was pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you're right, people can't come from everywhere. I mean, can't come because geographically it's a large state. But I was very, very happy to see that they did. In spite of that fact,
mm-hmm.
and they came and attended three rallies, two of them 500 strong, another one was over 1,000, and they came in the snow. I mean, once they understood, they were not taking no for an answer. They were not going to be deterred, and so they were vigilant, and so that's why we want people to stay that way, because we don't know what's going to happen, but we remember last year. It was ugly. And we're going to be, we're prepared. We're prepared so that we can already send out to as many people that want to hear what's going on. We will just keep them informed so they can contact us as well.
And the call to action is not just to listen to this, but to actually contact our representatives and make sure that we're giving them our opinions and so forth. And I'm not saying everybody has to agree with what we're saying.
Right.
Whatever position you have, make sure you contact your representative and take a stand. And we hope that moral decisions will be directed by what the Word says. And doesn't matter what side of the aisle you stand on politically, or if you try to stand in the middle, wherever you're at, these are things that we hope that you'll consider carefully. Go to these websites, and I want to give those real quick before we take a break. FamilyPolicyAlliance.com/New Mexico. And, that is the Family Policy Alliance, which is part of a national organization. Vince is their executive director here in New Mexico. And then RTLNM. So that's RightToLifeNM.org. RTLNM.org. All kinds of great information on both of those websites. We'll be back more with, Vince Torres and Ethel Maharg will be back with us. If you would like to call us this afternoon, call us at 505-338-5790. We'd love to hear your opinion, whatever that is. But let me tell you, these two are standing tough on their positions, as am I. So call us, 338-5790. We'll be right back.
The Children's Grief Center of New Mexico provides support services for children and their caregivers after the death of a loved one. Each month, specialized workshops are offered. During the school year, peer support groups are offered in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho. During the summer and holiday months, short-term services are offered, including Camp Corazon, a free 3-day, 2-night camping experience that provides grieving children with age-appropriate coping skills, helping them manage grief. Families are never charged for these services. The Children's Grief Center of New Mexico's 14th Annual Healing Hearts Luncheon and Silent Auction is Friday, February 7th at 11 a.m. Proceeds from this event help to provide the assistance these children and their caregivers need. To attend, sponsor a table, or donate in lieu of attending, go to childrensgrief.org or call 323-0478. That's 323-0478. Part of Mission New Mexico. Sponsored by New Mexico Solar Group, Star 88, and KNKT.
If you're currently paying a monthly electric bill, you already have the means to switch to solar. Local and employee-owned and operated, New Mexico Solar Group, an authorized SunPower dealer, provides a free consultation explaining the advantages of solar power. Financing available, no down payment required. It's easy to harvest power from the sun and stop overpaying for electricity. Call New Mexico Solar Group at 505-357-1198. Online at nmsolargroup.com. That's nmsolargroup.com.
Medicare can be complicated. That's why Medicare Choices is here to help. They're an independent agency representing the Medicare insurance companies that strive to put your health needs first. They offer all the different Medicare plans that you've been thinking about. And consultation with local personalized service is free of charge to you. Visit their website, medicareinsurancesavings.com, or give them a call, 888-345-4942. That's 888-345-4942. Open enrollment begins January 1st through March 31st.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we are obviously remembering a man that stood for civil rights in this country and stood up for minorities. Ethel, off air, we were talking a little bit about how the topic of abortion actually is a civil rights issue as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it is. We had sometime back, Ryan Bomberger came to address. He was a banquet speaker, and he is African-American and the product of rape. Okay, so, and when he was speaking, he says, the top two reasons why I should have been aborted. And he said, one, because he was a product of rape, of course, that's again. And then the other one was because he's African-American. And African-American, see, Planned Parenthood has strategically placed clinics in inner city areas in order, they were target. Because they have patterned their organization after the founder, Margaret Sanger, followed Hitler. And so she was interested in ethnic cleansing and having a perfect race and all this. And so, yeah, so the African American population has a disproportionate amount of abortions compared to other races. They're a smaller minority, but they have a larger amount of abortions for their race. And so, and then of course the Hispanics, any that is not perfect in their eyes were also targeted. So yeah, if you're not, in keeping with what they thought would be perfect for them, yeah, you should be aborted.
Well, I guess the scary part is to think that the federal government is funding something that is really, sounds like discriminating.
Yes.
And they're not just discriminating, they're killing.
Yes.
Boy, that just sounds very much like the civil rights things that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Absolutely.
Was standing up for years and years ago. And I can't imagine, I would never suppose that I could describe what anyone feels, a person of color in this country. It appears to me that it has improved, but I'm told in some cases that people don't feel that it has improved. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of discrimination. So I admire what Dr. King said in his autobiography about he had people spitting on him and yelling obscenities and doing all these different things while he was doing sit-ins and standing up for what he believed. But he did it and commanded everybody that was with him to do this passively, nonviolently, with love. And yet, like any human being, he found himself getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had an internal conversation about how he needed to release that anger and not act upon it and act out of love. Wow. I mean, the courage and just the amazing dedication and the dependency really on God, that took is an amazing thing. Vince, when you go up to the legislature, are you confronted sometimes with issues? I mean, you're a big, strong guy. And I can't imagine that you're always going to just say, yes, brother, thanks for cussing me out, and I'll go on to the next person. Do you face that kind of opposition?
Absolutely, and it's something that, quite frankly, I've become somewhat accustomed to, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't, you know, impact me personally. Some days are better than others, and I think one of the most difficult things is that, you know, our organization is, you know, put in the position of consistently taking positions that, though biblical, are very unpopular right now.
Against the culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, I've definitely, at times been, you know, had very, very, unfortunate, things thrown my way. And, definitely some people have said some nasty things, I think probably one of the most troubling is another organization in the state, you know, compared our organization and our work, speaking of Dr. Martin Luther King, compared our work to the white supremacists who opposed desegregation in the 60s. Because on matters related to the family and abortion and other issues, we you know, lean on what the Word of God says and try to promote biblical, you know, sexuality and the biblical understanding of when life begins. And so certainly that's been part of it. But at the same time, one of the things that I pray every day before I engage in politics or head to the Capitol is, Lord, give me the eyes to see these people for who they are and that they are all created in God's image. That even through the hate that is sent my way, that I need to see them as a neighbor who I need to respect and love. And I pray for each and every one of them that God opens up opportunities for me to share the good news of the gospel, because just like me, they're sinners in need of a savior. And that is the one thing that actually brings us all together as the human race, is our dependence on God. And so some days it's easier than others. I'm not saying that it's always easy. And there are definitely moments when you want to, you know, respond and to defend yourself and to strike back. And I'm sure there's been times in the past when I've done that. But overall, I definitely pray that the power of the Holy Spirit equips me with what I need to be humble and winsome in all that we say and do, regardless of what others say about us.
Yeah, what a challenge. Are you both parents?
Yes.
So I'm a parent. I'm a parent of five children, two boys, three girls. And I always think about Jim Gaffigan does a presentation. He's a comedian. non-profane comedian, and he starts off one of his shows by saying, "Hey, good evening, thanks for having me here. I have three great children," and everybody starts clapping. And then after they're done clapping, he goes, "And one other." And I always tell that joke to my kids, because I'd love to say, "I have four great children," and then they never know who the one other is. But the reason I bring that up is because I'm alarmed at something that I've heard, not just from you guys, but then confirmed by both of you, that our children are being sexualized at a very early age. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things that we've had happen over the last several years is we've seen, you know, comprehensive sexual education in our schools become much more graphic and political. We've seen it in states like Washington, where back in 2016, they adopted what was then probably the most radical comprehensive sex education standards in the nation, that basically would ensure that kindergartners, again, five-year-olds, kindergartners would learn about cross-dressing as a form of gender expression. Third graders taught that they could choose their own gender. Fourth graders expected to be able to explain the differences between different sexual orientations. And that was just, you know, Washington back in 2016. Since then, we've seen things happen in Austin and in California. Probably most recently, the state of California adopted some very controversial state-approved sex education, in which first graders were provided with detailed descriptions of sexual intercourse. Third graders were shown pornographic cartoon drawings of sexual intercourse. 10-year-olds introduced to, excuse me, but anal sex is, you know, was introduced to 10-year-olds. And that's the sort of stuff that's out there that's being proposed in states across the country as they attempt to, again, as you said, sexualize our children to promote promiscuity at an early age. And we know that what's largely driving this is the abortion industry. And Ethel can talk a little bit more about that as to why it's the abortion industry that in many cases are in, you know, overwhelming majority of cases are the ones pushing this radical sex ed agenda.
Well, Ethel, when you talk about the abortion industry, I mean, you're really talking about, like some of the petroleum industry.
Yeah.
I don't want to liken them, because obviously petroleum industry has done some wonderful things. We run our cars and all those different things. They've come up with new ways to not pollute, but it's a profitable industry. I would have never thought about abortion as being a profit industry, but that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. Why do you think they're so angry with President Trump? Because he's pulled $60 million out of their Title X funds. They've lost millions of dollars, and they're furious about that. And he said, "Well, quit doing abortions, because you can have some of your money." And they said no, and because they know that that is where their money is. And Carol Everett, another speaker that came to speak here, she said she had four abortion clinics. She's now on our side, and she said that, "I knew that I could get rich. I wanted to be a millionaire by then." And she says, "I knew that I could get rich by being in the abortion industry." And so that's what she did. So yeah, it's a big moneymaker. it for them, you know, and the later the abortion, the more the money. And so, yeah.
Well, and it seems to me that organizations like Planned Parenthood, who are a major abortion company, I know they're probably set up as a 501c3, but they're really a company.
Yes.
It seems like their overhead is paid by the taxpayers.
Yes.
So all of this money coming in from the abortions is a profit center.
Yes.
Is that wrong, Vince?
No, absolutely. In fact, they've had another, you know, record-breaking year. Some statistics that I saw reported were this past year, 345,672 babies aborted. That's 946 a day. One child every 91 seconds is something someone shared with me. And, you know, that all came at the tune of over $600 million in revenue brought in, largely from Medicaid reimbursements, so taxpayer-funded abortions. And so while, you know, through Title X changes that the Trump administration instituted, the organization Planned Parenthood was shorted about $60 million in federal funds, they're still collecting taxpayer money through Medicaid funding for these abortions. And so when they come out and say that they're hurting, you know, don't listen to that. In fact, if they were hurting so much, they wouldn't have already announced that they're going to spend about $45 million to try to defeat U.S. Senate candidates who are pro-life during this upcoming election cycle. So make no mistake about it. They are an industry. They are raking in millions and millions of dollars every year, some through private donations, but most of it, again, coming through taxpayer funds in the form of Medicaid reimbursements.
Wow. I just thought of something. I asked you the question earlier if the governor's call for this legislative session had any, you know, abortion type topics or legislation, or family policy things, you know, like sexualizing our children and so forth. And we haven't seen that yet. But I'm thinking that people that are listening to this program of all faiths and of all political, parties, could literally contact your representatives right now or today or tomorrow without this even being on, you know, a legislative agenda, and just make sure they know you're wasting your time if you make this part of our legislative agenda.
No, so, I think that is important for people to hear, is that most often, especially on these types of issues, either kind of a worst case scenario, we respond after it's too late, or we just become very, you know, reactionary. So something comes up and then we jump on top of it rather than using the whole year, you know, to get to know your elected official, find out who they are, let them know where you stand on these issues, develop a relationship with them. And again, do so in a way that's respectful to them. And, rather than just simply out of the woodwork, something comes up and we're all responding. One of the things that we've tried to do, Ethel, myself, and Elisa Martinez over at New Mexico Alliance for Life, is during the interim, since we defeated the radical abortion bill, House Bill 51, is we've tried to keep that momentum up by encouraging people throughout, you know, the months that ensued after that, to continue to engage on the issue, because it's not just during the session that these issues are working themselves out. Other things are happening across our nation and even in our local governments where we can speak up and we can have a voice and we can engage. And so I would encourage folks, yes, we may not have that bill, but it's not a bad idea to contact your legislator even, you know, tomorrow when the session kicks off and they finally have their staff, to let them know, hey, you know, regardless of what you do, I want you to know where we stand on the sanctity of human life, where we stand on family values, where we stand on our First Amendment rights and religious freedom. That's all good to have on record with them, so that when issues do come up, we're not simply trying to react. And in that way, I think we're starting to go a bit on the offensive here in New Mexico and letting our elected officials know that we don't like the direction that our state is going. And if they don't change something, then maybe we need to change them. And we'll have that opportunity come June and November of this year.
We're going to say thank you to some sponsors. Come back for what is now going to be kind of a short session, because our time always flies when we're having fun. We'll be back with Vince and Ethel. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Bodies World Class Gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
What are you doing to enhance your marriage?
We want to be on the same page.
Even when that gets tough.
Family Life's Weekend to Remember.
It was one of, like, the best weekends ever.
We just want to soak in all this knowledge.
It's fun and practical.
The Weekend to Remember is coming to the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort and Spa February 21st.
Just do it because you're going to get something good out of this.
Wow, this is really making a difference.
Sign up through January 28th and save 50% per couple. Visit weekendtoremember.com.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule while working toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Select teachings from the Bible from 30,000 feet are now part of the distance learning curriculum at Veritas International University with online classes from Pastor Skip Heitzig, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. When you complete the Bible from 30,000 feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. Through Veritas, you can take online, fully accredited classes working towards a bachelor's, master's, or PhD. The spring semester is quickly approaching. For a full list of classes and to enroll, go to viu.ves.edu. That's viu.ves.edu.
The news is awash with displays of anarchy, political turmoil, and violence. People spend more time on social media today than parents do with children. Less than 50% of millennials in the United States believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What in the world is going on? Jesus prophesied about a time such as this. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the last days. Hello, men of Albuquerque. This is Dave Slade. Come join me and other men January 30th for a book study in As Is in the Days of Noah by Jeff Kinley. We will study the similarities between the ancient days of Noah and our world. The parallels are striking. The study begins January 30th, Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. at Calvary Church, 4001 Osuna Road, Northeast. We meet in the Hub, the building just west of the baptismal. That's Thursdays at 6:30 a.m. in the Hub at Calvary Church. Come join me and other men as we examine one of the most important and controversial prophecies by Jesus about the last days.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
You know, when God called Moses to lead Israel's exodus from Egypt, his response was less than enthusiastic. If you'll remember, Moses attempted to resist God's call by reminding God of all the resources he didn't possess. I don't have the reputation. I don't have the credibility. I can't speak eloquently enough. But God wanted Moses to take inventory with a different perspective. It wasn't about what Moses didn't have. It was about God's ability to use what Moses did have. And when we step up to the task, even a simple shepherd's stick becomes the staff of God. So stop trying to remind God of what you don't have. Trust Him today to take what you do have to fulfill His calling on your life.
Right thinking leads to right living. Want more? Power up with Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point. A half hour of hard-hitting Bible teaching here on your station. Or check it out online at focalpointradio.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thanks for staying with us on ABQ Connect. Ethel Mahar, the Executive Director of the Right to Life Committee, and Pastor Vince Torres. He is the Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. In studio with us this afternoon, we've been talking about the sexualization of our kids. We've been talking about the abortion issue and how that relates to New Mexico. Particularly disturbing about this late-term abortion. You basically chop up a child that is unborn, that's been in the womb for 9 months, and literally could be born any second and be totally viable, and not to mention babies that come that are born earlier that would also survive. So it's a shocking thing. You've got a special event on Wednesday. It's called the Sanctity of Life March up in Santa Fe. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, one of the things that we were blessed and honored to do again this year is Family Policy Alliance is partnering with New Mexico Praise and also the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, along with CareNet, Right to Life, Alliance for Life, some of our local churches for the annual Sanctity of Life Awareness and Unity Day March. So while our brothers and sisters at the Catholic Church are having their Mass, we're going to be holding a service at the Capitol Rotunda, which kicks off at 10:30. After that, we have a special lunch, casual lunch for just pastors and legislators. So if any of pastors are listening, you are welcome and invited to attend that. And again, that's Wednesday, service at 10:30, followed by a lunch for pastors and legislators around 11:45. And then after that lunch break, we are going to go walk to the cathedral in downtown Santa Fe, join with our Catholic friends, and march back to the Capitol for the annual Life Rally. And we are really excited about that and looking forward to it.
So here's the day on Wednesday. You got to get up to Santa Fe a little early. Go have a nice breakfast, have a nice cup of coffee. Many, many great places to have coffee and breakfast in Santa Fe. Get over to the Capitol Rotunda around 9:30, 9:45, because it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
And at 10:30, the events start. Ethel, you mentioned that the opposition is going to be there on Thursday.
Yes, the following day.
And you're inviting everybody to go to that, too.
Well, if they can. You know, I think it's good to see what they're doing because – you know, oftentimes we stay away because we don't think, oh, that's the other side and we don't want to be associated with it. But I think it's important to know what they're doing, you know, and what they're speaking of, because those might be the things that would motivate the governor to put it on the call. We don't know, you know, so it would be good to hear what is going on there. So anyway.
You know, we need to pray for the governor.
Yes.
Because the governor's got all kinds of messages. She's got them coming from every direction, including ours.
Mm-hmm.
And we really do need to pray for her. You know, hope that she'll have courage and, yes. and stand up for the things that are right. And I can only believe that the Holy Spirit's speaking to her heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be praying and talking about that. How about this marijuana issue, legalizing marijuana? I think I mentioned in a previous show we've had a lot of people on the air that are currently using medical marijuana, Christian people. They felt in some ways that they weren't that wasn't necessarily accepted sometimes even in their congregations, but they feel like it's really helped them medically and done a lot of good. So I have no doubt that that's true and it's legal, so I have no problem with that. But what about this recreational marijuana and the stance that we need to take for our families, Vince?
Yeah, it's very concerning. And to your point, you know, I want to be clear that we're talking about something very different from medicinal marijuana. That's something that's already legal here in New Mexico. In fact, we have 75,000 people, with their medical marijuana card. So that's already legal here. And just as you are, I'm extremely sympathetic to that issue. Know many people, who use it for pain management, legitimate pain management. And we certainly want that to be available to them. But what we are now contemplating, what the governor has put on the agenda and what's being proposed is full recreational marijuana. And we've, if any of you have paid attention to what's happened in Colorado, we can look to Colorado and simply say that we know it's not going to be good for New Mexico. And the advocates, you know, are pointing to potential job creation and revenue. But one of the things that we've seen in Colorado is the costs of legalization have far exceeded of any benefits that they have reaped in the form of revenue or job creation. So it's something we want to certainly be very careful about. And, you know, as I mentioned during our break, Jim, this is probably something that we could discuss for an entire hour. So maybe I can come back on the radio and do that. We have seen what's happened in Colorado, and I would just encourage folks to stay tuned and to make sure, you know, you're paying attention to what the issue actually is. Again, we're not talking about medicinal. This is just recreational marijuana. And based on what we've seen in the states that have legalized, we can be sure that this is going to harm our state.
Well, I'm going to grab both of you for, if you're available, February 3rd, which is Monday, 2 weeks from now. That'll kind of be in the middle of the session. We'll get a little update. And then I'm hoping sometime next week to get you both on the phone while you're up at the legislative session and maybe give us some updates. Again, want to let everybody know that there's resources available to you on rtlnm.org. That's the Right to Life Committee, New Mexico, and the familypolicyalliance.com/New Mexico. Great resources for you. We thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.